This is GPB Atlanta. I'm Leah Fleming. As the country continues to grapple with gun legislation, or lack thereof, one thing nearly everyone seems to agree on is that those with mental health problems should not have access to guns. This Mental Health Awareness Month, we are looking into an incident that took place nearly 5 years ago. Michael Brandon Hill entered the Ronald McNair Learning Academy in DeKalb County carrying an AK-47 rifle, 500 rounds of ammunition, and exchanged gunfire with police.
Yes, ma'am. I'm on 2nd Avenue in the school, and the gentleman said, tell them to hold down. The police officers are coming, and he said he's going to start shooting, so tell them to back off.
That was Antoinette Tuff, a school employee who was able to convince Hill to lay his weapon down and surrender. Amazingly, no one was injured or killed in this attempted mass school shooting. Annie Dietz specializes in mental health as a public defender in DeKalb County. She was Michael Brandon Hill's defense lawyer. She joins us now in studio. Good morning, Annie.
Good morning.
So what were your first impressions of Michael Brandon Hill when you first met him?
It was clear upon meeting Mr. Hill that he had some serious limitations cognitively and with mental illness. And as we delved into his social history, working with the social worker who was working on his case, Tanya Brown, the records that we were able to uncover, the history that we were able to create, verified that our first impression was accurate. He had had a number of suicide attempts, a number of hospitalizations, and a very limited IQ. In his life, a school was the only place that he ever really felt safe or protected, that adults cared about children. He knew that the police would come quickly and would come with force, and that the event would end quickly was his hope.
Now, I know you've said that he reached out for help, but our system as it exists is not really equipped to give people like Mr. Hill help. Talk about a little bit what you meant about that.
Well, I represent specifically a population of people, mentally ill folks who are in the throes of the criminal justice system. And Mr. Hill was typical of so many of those people who, if you think about it, our society really stigmatizes mental illness and is reluctant to talk about it, much less deal with it and treat it. It's hard for people with means to manage their mental illness. It's hard for them to get medication. It's hard for them to take medication consistently and get treatment and go to therapy and do all of those things. Mr. Hill was born without any means, without a real system of support, of family support. He was like so many of my clients who don't even have a home, much less the ability to get and take and maintain medication. So he, from the outset of his life, he was at a distinct disadvantage from say, you or I. Our system does a decent job of protecting juveniles. But when he aged out of that system, he found himself homeless, without supports, and just kind of cast aside by society.
So what happens next to those who are incarcerated? Do they receive the help that they need?
Jails and prisons are not therapeutic environments. I mean, they're just not designed for that. That's not their purpose, and that's not really what they're funded to do. I think that there's a public misconception that people who are housed in jails, and I can speak more to jails than prisons because that's a population that I see day in and day out, those folks are not receiving mental health treatment as we would think of mental health treatment. They're not receiving counseling. They're not receiving group therapy. Are people given medication in jails? Yes, when the jail doctors deem it necessary and appropriate, but not treatment. So I think that the idea that people who are in jail are receiving mental health treatment is not accurate.
So Michael Brandon Hill, who you represented, he actually is in prison. Is that where he should be?
I don't think so. The problem is that judges have very little discretion in where somebody is sent. Unless somebody is not competent to stand trial and not likely to ever become competent to stand trial, or unless somebody is not guilty by reason of insanity, which is a very small percentage of the population, those are the only two categories of criminal defendants who end up in, say, Georgia Regional Hospital or in the custody of the Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities. Where we're lacking the most is in the community treatment, right? So we deinstitutionalize this population of people. We closed hospitals. We want mentally ill people being treated in the least restrictive means possible in the community. But without the funding to support these community mental health centers, people are not set up to succeed. They don't have the supports necessary. I mean, this is the biggest crisis facing the criminal justice system. We don't have housing. We don't have adequate support systems. I mean, there's been a great deal of criminal justice reform under the governor, and he's done a great job of that. I think that this is really the next wave, is putting these support systems in place. Because if you look at the numbers, it costs a lot less to treat somebody who's mentally ill in the community than to house them in jail or prison.
Annie Dietz is a public defender in DeKalb County. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
This is GPB Atlanta.